You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Monday edition. I debated whether or not to have an update of the situation in North and South Carolina and along the coast. I decided to do it because there's significant flooding, and that was expected, but probably more widespread than initially thought, and the surge did go up the rivers, and now it looks like they're coming right down the river, and many of those rivers will probably peak either today or tomorrow, and record high levels. So there should be more flooding even continuing into this week. Now the storm has moved off. Initially it went inland, and then as more or less predicted, turn right, headed northwest. So there's still people in New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C. area are going to get a lot of rain from it. And eventually the storms will go into New England and off the coast and back into the Atlantic. But there was a lot of flooding. And as a result, some communities are difficult to get into. Roads in and out in some communities, not all, are flooded. And that makes it difficult for if you're trying to go, for example, many people had to get groceries. Well, the trucks have to get in, and trucks usually have a better chance of getting through because they're much higher off the ground, larger wheels. But people had to wait in line to even shop for groceries. And it looks like right now, the latest information, there are hundreds of thousands without electrical power. That's probably the most pressing thing. And it's simply going to take time. It's going to take days before many of these homes and businesses, electrical power is finally reconnected. This, initially a hurricane, it reached Category 4, high winds, but as it approached the coast, first it was downgraded to a 3, which is still dangerous, then a 2, finally a 1 when it hit the land. And then soon thereafter, that same day, was downgraded to a tropical storm. But even with a tropical storm, you'll have winds under 75 miles an hour, and you do have flying debris. And what's very apparent is a lot of trees were brought down. That obviously would impact, especially if they fell on power lines. But many yards and houses and cars were either crushed or damaged due to falling trees, as well as branches and limbs from it. So they're still cleaning up. It'll probably take them weeks to clean everything up, but we're finally, slowly but surely, returning to normal. Now, the storm was very slow moving, and that meant for through Sunday, you still had rain pouring. Now, the sunshine is out. People are recovering. There have been a lot of deaths. There have been 31 deaths, and there's been some looting. I haven't seen that many reports, but apparently some people are taking advantage and looting stores. The best thing to do is stay at home if you can. I know many people have to go to work, but you don't want to flood out your car. There are many cars that had to be abandoned in either the middle of a highway or on a road. So your best bet is to wait till the flood waters recede, and that's just going to take time. While you might be able to get out locally a few blocks or several several blocks from your home, many of the highways are not open. And many people that tried the highways, you see their cars. So it's going to take time, as it usually does. In Texas, it took many, many months to really get back to normal because you had mass floodings. And yes, why you want to clean up and maybe repair your home or business, a lot of people want to do the same thing. So it's just going to take time and effort to really recover and return to normal. Hopefully, we won't see another hurricane hitting the United States. There are several out there off the coast of Africa. But I don't see this hurricane season being any worse than many, many others. I mean, 2017 was a bad one. I think people have to understand the difference between weather and climate. And weather is unpredictable. It's very difficult to predict where storms are going to go, and it's even more difficult to try to predict climate tens of years, hundreds of years in the future. And because of that, if you look at and I went over this and gave information on the last show, if you look at the reality, what actually happened versus what the so-called computer climate models are predicting, the computer climate models, and there are literally several hundred of them, are way, way off. And that's why I simply don't give credence to them. They're just, if your predictions are off, you're not understanding some of the key things of climate change. And one that you have to understand is precipitation, rainfall, snowfall, and cloud formation. And we simply don't really have a good handle on that. And we're talking, when you're talking climate, you're really on geologic time. We're not talking the weather forecast for the next couple of days or even a week or two. We're talking years out. That's what makes it very difficult. So you really should not be surprised that these models are simply not good predictors, especially in the short run. They've been terrible. So it's not a matter what I try to emphasize, because I still hear some of these reports. Well, climate change is making the hurricanes worse, and they have computer models, advanced computer models at Princeton that show this. Well, Princeton's a well-respected institution, especially in the sciences, but the models are not any better because they come from Princeton or MIT or anywhere else. You got to compare it with reality, with what actually happened, and that's where you see the shortcomings. So, and climate has always been changing. It will continue to change just like the weather continues to change from day to day. You got to adapt, you got to live with it, and move on. You know, when it gets cold, I'm going to wear a coat. I'm going to wear sweaters, gloves. When it gets warm, I'm not going to wear a coat. When it rains, I'll make sure I take an umbrella. I have two in my car, and wear a jacket. So the best response both to weather and climate is to adapt. It is not time to panic, and the alarmists want you to panic, and there's very little you can do about it, first of all, and you shouldn't panic. We don't know enough about climate, and that's simply the bottom line, and that's the honest answer. We don't know, and you should be concerned about it because, like I said, I'm more worried about not so much rising global temperatures as opposed to going into another ice age that'll last 100,000 years. That's when you really need to become worried, because then we'll have much colder weather, a much shorter time period to grow crops. So I don't particularly look forward to another glacial age if I'm living. We're past due in terms of going back into a glacial period. So that's what I'm really concerned, but that could be another 100, 200, 300, 400, or 1,000 years from now. Only deal with what you can control and have impact on. That's why being adapt to the situation is really the best thing you could do. Now, we have other news. And the story in the news, I'm going to play a clip. This was and I'm going to preface this. We learned just before I went on the air that Judge Kavanaugh, together with the person who's accusing him of sexual assault, will be appearing before the Senate committee, Judiciary Committee, on the 24th. In other words, a week from today. And I look forward to it because the Democrats are trying to do what they did. Clarence Thomas, and I watched these hearings, by the way, and I was disgusted with what the Democratic Party did. because the hearings were more or less over when they sprung a surprise, just like they did right now with Judge Kavanaugh. The Kavanaugh hearings were over, and then they sprung this surprise. Well, I want you to listen to how Clarence Thomas responded to it. And this is, he was asked for his reactions. He was accused by Anita Hill of, well, I don't even want to summarize it because we don't know what happened. You see, that's the problem. That's the point I really want to make. It's he said, she said. There's no way to establish what happened. And that's going to be the situation here. Now, let me play, because this should get your attention. Let me play the whole clip. This is Joe Biden.
Committee will please come to order. Judge, it's a tough day and tough night for you, I know. Let me ask, do you have anything you'd like to say before we begin? I understand that your preference is, which is totally and completely understandable, that we go 1 hour tonight, 30 minutes on each side. Am I correct in that?
That's right.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Senator, I would like to start by saying unequivocally, uncategorically, that I deny each and every single allegation against me today that suggested in any way that I had conversations of a sexual nature or about pornographic material with Anita Hill, that I ever attempted to date her, that I ever had any personal sexual interest in her, or that I in any way ever harassed her. A second, and I think more important point, I think that this today is a travesty. I think that it is disgusting. I think that this hearing should never occur in America. This is a case in which this sleaze, this dirt, was searched for by staffers of members of this committee, was then leaked to the media, and this committee and this body validated it and displayed it at prime time over our entire nation. How would any member on this committee, any person in this room, or any person in this country would like sleaze said about him or her in this fashion, or this dirt dredged up and this gossip and these lies displayed in this manner? How would any person like it? The Supreme Court is not worth it. No job is worth it. I'm not here for that. I'm here for my name, my family, my life, and my integrity. I think something is dreadfully wrong with this country when any person in this free country would be subjected to this. This is not a closed room. There was an FBI investigation. This is not an opportunity to talk about difficult matters privately or in a closed environment. This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, as a black American, as far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves, to do for themselves, to have different ideas. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, this is what will happen to you. You will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate rather than hung from a tree.
Now, those were powerful words, and yes, he was confirmed, and he is a Supreme Court justice. That's the way it should have turned out, and unfortunately did. But you have what I call Democratic Party partisans that will destroy people that don't agree with them. And yes, Senator Kennedy was largely responsible, but there were others on that committee. I'm looking forward to hearing Judge Kavanaugh clear him. Now, he has denied totally and completely the 35, going on 36 year, been accused of sexual assault. We'll see. Now, there's something I need to say and point out and encourage you. I'm not going to get into it in any depth, but there's a lot of information. This professor is a professor of psychology. And the reason I bring this up, she should know that there's a large body of evidence concerning false memories and the unreliability of eyewitness testimony. Unfortunately, hundreds of innocent people have been convicted and sentenced to life or even to the death penalty based on eyewitness testimony that is proven wrong. And the fact that one of the problems is memory is simply not reliable. Across the board, people remember things that never happened, and it's sad. But it's time that the science, the studies of what have been demonstrated, and I have a couple of YouTube, three or four or five, I had to cut it off. And I get into this because I wish, I don't think they have time and will not do it, that they get into this area. This lady simply does not have credibility with me. And the reason is this, when you're in a position where you have to handle classified information. And Judge Kavanaugh was in that position when he worked as secretary for the George W. Bush administration. And then later, when he became judge and now is being considered and should be confirmed, hopefully the end of the month, to be the next associate justice, you go under a very thorough background investigation. I've gone under at least two or three. Actually, one, two, yeah, three. Two, once when I entered the Air Force. Second, when I went on active duty and was handling classified information, secret, top secret, confidential. And then when I was in the aerospace industry on the F-16 program. The FBI investigate you, and they contact your neighbors, your friends, your professors. And I know it because some of them would contact me and said the FBI has come around. It's a normal situation, and it takes time. It usually takes months before you get the clearance, and that can be a little bit, let us say, you want to really be doing your full job. But fortunately, I've had positions where having a clearance was not that critical. But on occasions, I would handle classified information reluctantly. And I think I've relayed this when I was in the military. At least once every couple of months, I would have to check all the safes in a building to make sure, first of all, they were locked up. And these safes contain classified information. And make sure that people did not accidentally, because if they did, they were in trouble, leave a classified document on the desk. So at least the military, I'm not so sure about the Department of State, seriously takes classified documents seriously. And it has covers, and most people will work with it and then put it back in the safe to the extent they need to do it at all. Now, if you're on active duty, especially if you're in a operational type unit, yeah, you're going to get intelligence all the time. So you tend to use classified information at various levels more frequently. I bring that up because I cannot believe that the FBI did not inadvertently miss this. Now, I don't know about this lady. I know nothing about her, and the judge didn't know who she was, but he's denied any improper, inappropriate activity with either her or anyone else along the lines she's suggesting. She is trying to say that Brett Kavanaugh tried to assault when him and his buddies were drunk. Well, why'd you wait? You know, the obvious problem with this, why'd you wait so long? That's why I don't trust her. She has a big credibility problem with me and many other people. Why now? And she didn't reveal this until 2012 when she was undergoing therapy, marriage-type therapy, and didn't mention at the time it happened to any friends, family at all. there's something not right here. And yes, you start to suspect that this is politically motivated, and that's exactly what you find out. She has made political campaign contributions to the Democratic Party and was a big Bernie Sanders supporter. She's an activist, so she thought that she could come forward at the very last minute. Initially, she didn't want to go public with this. The only way this should even be looked at is so Judge Kavanaugh can respond to it on the record, sworn in, and clearly indicate to the public what's going on. Again, the hearings were closed and then someone leaked this. How convenient. How convenient. This was a setup, folks. They're trying to do anything and anything to stop the Kavanaugh confirmation. I don't think it will succeed. I'm looking forward for Judge Kavanaugh to have 30 or 40 years on the Supreme Court. And like I said, resistance is futile. Now, I want to be very careful here. If all the Republicans, and I mean all the Republicans, vote for confirming Judge Kavanaugh, then I believe at least some, 3, 4, 5, maybe as many as 6 Democrats, will vote for him as well. However, if the Republican Party, especially the 2 women who have still not indicated whether they're going to vote for him, if they vote against him, then no Democrat, in my mind, is going to vote for him. That's not what should happen. If there's an objective vote, this should be like 98, 99, maybe even 100-0. He's eminently qualified. He's a man of integrity. And see, that's the reason they resorted to this tactic. And I think it was planned. I really do. I'm very suspicious of this. This is almost not quite identical to what happened with Clarence Thomas when Anita Hill at the last minute came forward. It was a hit, a political hit, and that's exactly what this is. Now, the Republicans have to be very careful. They have to be fair to both Judge Kavanaugh and her name is Christine Blasey Ford. She's a psychology professor on the West Coast at Palo Alto University in California. It's a program that she's teaching a program in conjunction with Stanford University. She's published papers, but as far as I'm concerned, she has a strong credibility problem. And then when you combine that with the research on the fact that there have been many, many people falsely accused by testimony of either witnesses or victims, she's a victim, and sent to jail, that disturbs me. And then the simply unreliability of memory. Now, I don't have the time, and this is not the place to go over that research. So what I did to kind of at least start you out on this, I included a number of videos on how memory plays us. It does play us. You have false memories. First of all, they're biased. You're uncertain of it, but you feel confident that it happened. And many times, nothing resembling this happened at all. And unfortunately, therapists can plant those seeds. There have been studies where people have deliberately planted memories in other people. And what's sad about it is, unfortunately, many people spend years in prison until they find the evidence. And now, increasingly, more and more courts are allowing this science in. And science should be allowed in the courtroom. Because I think what's disturbing is innocent people are sent to prison because of this. If this lady really was raped, she should have come forward when this happened. Not necessarily the same day, but within days, not years of it. This is just too convenient, and I frankly think it stinks, but the Republicans have to be careful. We have to be fair. Let her tell her story, but also let the judge tell his, and then let the American people decide who they want to believe. I already have decided I believe the judge. There's no way, and this is a problem. This is what lawyers would describe or journalists would describe. Well, he says, she says. He says, she says. Who do you believe? The answer is, you don't know who to believe. So what happens, you have to make a judgment. Who has the most credibility here? Given not one, not two, not three, but a total of six FBI investigations, and the fact that women that knew him then have come forward and said this is not the Brett Kavanaugh that they know. They don't deny drinking beer, but this was a woman rather late accusing what looks like a slam dunk confirmation to try to first delay it and then totally stop it. It's going to be a close vote. It shouldn't be a close vote. If the Republicans handle it right, and this needs to be fair and sensitive to the people involved, in other words, give them their day or 15 minutes in front of television, but quickly, if not next week, right, and I think the vote should happen, frankly, should have happened this week, and at the very latest next week. They should have an up-and-down vote, both in the Judiciary Committee and in the Senate, in the whether to confirm or not confirm Judge Brett Kavanaugh. What's sad is we have come to this state of affairs in the United States where it's so partisan that we've thrown out common decency and are voting not on the qualifications or the integrity of the candidate, in this case for the position of Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. It shouldn't be a partisan issue. It should be on the merits of the qualifications of the candidate. Here we have a sitting judge who has decided over 300 cases, has a large record. I don't know how and why. Well, I know why, but how do these people sleep at night? Well, they do, because many of them believe the ends justify the means. So they don't want any conservative, limited government justice to be on the court. So they will vote along those lines. The Democrats will reveal what they stand for. It looked like a circus with the organized protest, and the caliber of the questioning simply wasn't there, especially by Democrats. And I did do a complete show where I highlighted some of the testimony of Judge Kavanaugh and some of the questioning. The American people are expecting Judge Kavanaugh to be confirmed. And I think any senator that does vote against him, if they're up for election, don't vote for him, because they believe the ends justify the means, and they don't want someone with integrity, character, achievement on the court. At one time, hearings, the advised consent role that Senate plays, we didn't have this type of questioning at all. It's only in modern times that we do. So I wish the best for Judge Kavanaugh, and I'm willing to listen to both his testimony on this issue as well as his accuser. I'm sure there's going to be some interesting questions. The obvious one to me is, Professor, why'd you wait so long? And why'd you bring it up now? And why didn't you tell anyone when this happened? There's no, you see, what you need to understand, the statute of limitations on something that's over with. There's no way he can be prosecuted. There's no point in investigating it. Now, be careful here, because I do smell a rat. I wouldn't be surprised if suddenly someone comes forward and corroborates this woman. Now, they might believe their own lies, but if they do this, then I think it's time the Republicans to take off the gloves. The Democrats are really damaging themselves. And if they want to do that, be my guest. The person that's going to get hurt the most, obviously, is Brett Kavanaugh, should he have to withdraw or not be confirmed. That would be a travesty. And hopefully, if that should happen, I don't think it will, by the way. I think he will be confirmed and will be sitting on the bench in October hearing cases, what he should be doing. And I think he needs to be supported, and he has been supported by the people that he's worked with, not only his friends, family, the people he's worked with. And I've seen nothing, and I mean that would disqualify him for the position. And I wish him the best. And I urge you to check out what science is saying about false memories and the very serious limitations and problems with eyewitness reports. They, not consistently, but many, many times, get it wrong. And lives have been ruined very unfairly. when people confidently think that that was the person that committed the crime when the person was never there. He might look similar to it. And what's sad is many times no attempt is made to find out who really did it. And maybe, see, I doubt they would do this, but they should do it. This would be a perfect opportunity to call in some experts on the problems with eyewitness testimony, including victims, and the problem with false memories. Let's make it somewhat educational. Educate the American people with the problem of a lady coming forward and remembering something that she thinks she remembers, she might even believe, from 35 years ago. It strains people's, how should I say, the general reaction is, I don't believe her. And she's going to have to deal with it. And she should deal with it. I simply don't like this. And I hope the truth finally comes out, but I'm not counting on that. The way this should turn out is Associate Justice Kavanaugh should be on the bench at the Supreme Court in October when they start their new session. Now, one other story has been in the news, and I think this story will continue the news for many, many months, if not years, and it's really a two-part. We have a ceasefire in the Korean War. The war was never ended. There was no peace agreement. So South and North Korea are meeting Tuesday. It is Tuesday in Asia. They're ahead of us, and the president of South Korea, Moon, is going to meet with Chairman Kim to discuss a number of issues, including ending the war, but also, more importantly, from the world's perspective, stopping and ending the nuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now, I've said in past shows, and I always remind you, the only reason North Korea has long-range missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, that can hit the United States, as well as nuclear weapons, and I do believe they have nuclear weapons. Now, they're developing them. They have test sites, they have factories or production, and they're doing research. But the only reason they have all this is primarily Communist China. Communist China is responsible for North Korea having this capability that threatens Japan, it threatens South Korea, the Philippines, and other nations, and the United States. It's really in the interest of North and South Korea, the United States, Japan, our allies, and Communist China, to have North Korea totally destroy its nuclear capability, both in terms of research facilities, testing facilities, production facilities. It must be verified, totally and completely verified. And then for long-range missiles, especially those ranges or hundreds, thousands of miles, they need to stop their missile program and destroy that as well. It remains to be seen whether or not North Korea will do that. And the only country that can really bring pressure that has leverage on North Korea is Communist China. So the United States, even though it is pushing for it and is trying to deal with Chairman Kim, remember our Secretary of State was scheduled to meet with them a week ago, and President Trump ordered the meeting canceled because they simply were not making enough progress, not cooperating, and were cheating. And that's the second part of the story. The Russians have been caught cheating on United Nations sanctions. They're shipping oil to North Korea and violating United Nations approved sanctions. And there was a report prepared that detailed this in the open section of it, that the Russians last week changed the language of it. In essence, they deleted the section dealing with Russian violations of the sanctions. And today in the United Nations, our UN ambassador called them out. And let me just play a little bit of that, because this is important.
The report contained evidence of multiple Russian sanction violations. We have seen and read this report. But when the panel submitted the report to the Security Council last week, we noticed something deeply troubling. The evidence of Russian violations that was detailed in the earlier report was missing. It had been removed from the open section of the report. Apparently, Russia threatened to prevent release of the report unless its demands to hide the evidence of its violations was met. To our deep regret, the panel agreed. This Russian interference was so egregious that the United States had no choice but to prevent the publication of the tainted report. We've seen this Russian tendency to kill the messengers of inconvenient truths before. They didn't like it when the Joint Investigative Mechanism concluded that their client, the Assad regime, used chemical weapons against its own people in Syria. So they just killed the mechanism. Now Russia has succeeded in discrediting the UN Independent Panel reporting process because it called out their violations. Russian corruption is like a virus. It is impeding our ability to achieve complete denuclearization in North Korea. Now it has spread to the sanctions reporting process. If we're not careful, the sickness will make its way to the integrity and effectiveness of the Security Council itself. It isn't time yet to relieve the pressure on North Korea, no matter how lucrative it is for Russia. As we have all agreed to, that time comes with denuclearization, not before. Now is the wrong time to undo all the good work we've done in the Security Council. Now is the wrong time to ease sanctions pressure on the North Korean regime by repealing sanctions. And it's never the right time to allow cheating to go unpunished. Every time the Security Council overlooks sanctions violation, every time we allow the Russians to bury evidence of violations, we remove incentives of Pyongyang to end its nuclear program. Russia must cease its violations of North Korean sanctions. It must end its concerted effort to cover up evidence of sanctions violations.
That was our United States ambassador to the United Nations. This brings up what I've been saying for years. It's time for the United States to stop funding what is a failed institution, and that is the United Nations, a failed and corrupt institution. The United States should get out of the United Nations, and the United Nations should get out of the United States. It's long overdue. Stop throwing good money after bad by supporting this organization. The majority of the states in it are corrupt dictators, authoritarians, totalitarians. It's not a club that I would join. It should be shut down. Now, if they want to go wherever, be my guest. But I don't want to see 1 cent of taxpayer money continuing, and it does. We are the major contributor to the budgets of the United Nations. And the problem is in the Security Council. They have veto over resolutions, and so does the United States. I'm not surprised Russia did this, and you got to call them on it. So you see, it's Communist China, together with the allies of North Korea, namely Russia, that have enabled North Korea to have this capability. It's largely the nuclear and missile program, and it's been going on for years. The country primarily responsible is Communist China. And the only way to get the attention of Communist China, because we don't really have any leverage on North Korea, short of war, is you have to link it with something that they care very deeply about, and that is trade with the United States. You know, I believe that Communist China has been given a date. I don't know the date, but I suspect it's 1 January 2019. There is a date certain that if North Korea is not truly starting to and actually destroying its missile and nuclear capability, that at some point in time, President Trump will conclude that they're not negotiating in good faith because they know that the only country that can make them negotiate in good faith is Communist China. And at that point, all exports from Communist China will be banned. We need a complete total embargo. That will get their attention. And we're moving in that direction in terms of tariffs. Communist Chinese need to understand we're serious and we know what's going on and the American people know what's going on. And if you want access to our market, if you want to trade with us, you will obey the rules, not cheat by having non-tariff trade practices that hurt the United States and other countries. So I see the United States, especially over the next year, year and a half, ramping up higher and higher tariffs. And that assumes that the Communist Chinese are not going to do anything. I'm not optimistic there. So time will tell. Initially, I thought, well, maybe the Communist Chinese got the message and made it clear to Chairman Kim that over time he's going to have to destroy both his research, testing, production capabilities in terms of both nuclear weapons and missiles. Up until now, I don't see it. And it's important to make sure, wherever possible, that sanctions cannot be cheated on by other countries. And that's what Russia's doing. Russia is shipping oil. And the Communist Chinese have done it. I'm not a fan of sanctions because of a couple of reasons. One, they take too long, and all you need is one or more other countries cheating, deliberately cheating, in other words, supplying them the goods, services, whatever they need, and all the efforts of most of the nations to abide by the sanctions goes by the wayside. So we'll get more information, and I hope that the meeting between President Moon of South Korea and Chairman Kim of North Korea goes well. I think the American people, as well as President Trump, would welcome the final treaty ending the Korean War. Remember, that was fought by many nations, and the Communist Chinese were on the North Korean side. And we, the South Koreans, the Americans, and others were on the side of who? South Korea. It was a UN action. Truman called it a police action. It was far from a police action. We were at war. It's called the Korean War. And the reason why, and this is interesting, the Soviet Union then made a critical mistake. They left the Security Council. And while they were gone, didn't attend the meeting, the UN passed the resolution. And as a result of that, the United Nations, led primarily by who? The United States, but also Australia, United Kingdom, fought first the North Koreans and then eventually the Communist Chinese. We finally had a ceasefire, and that's where it stands today. But I think we should finally end the war and commemorate it by eliminating all nuclear weapons from North and South Korea and eliminate long-range missiles. If that happens, there should be a lot of trade and economic development in North Korea. And what's interesting, a number of South Korean corporations are attending this summit conference. There's a lot of room, and the primary beneficiary would be North Korea. I think I've at least once, if not a couple of times, there's an interesting photograph. You can see North and South Korea at night. What you see is South Korea lit up, and you see darkness. Very few, if any, and this is from space. It's a satellite photograph. Total, in essence, total darkness. So the primary beneficiaries of a true peace settlement, as well as finally doing away with nuclear weapons, the primary beneficiary will be both the people of North Korea and its regime. And I think they see it. Communist China sees it. But Communist China has to decide, do they want access to the United States and the European Union by trading with us and following the rules, or do they want to continue supporting North Korea by encouraging their building of nuclear weapons and missiles to put them on. The delivery system is missiles that can hit the United States, Japan, and our allies. The United States will not sit still for it. Now, no one wants to go to war. That's the other thing. War is not in anyone's interest. But the one thing that's leading us to war is the fact that North Korea continues to test, manufacture both missiles and nuclear weapons. Not recently, but once the United States obtains credible evidence that North Korea is doing nothing to move towards denuclearization, once that becomes apparent, in other words, North Korea is not negotiating in good faith, then I think other options are going to be considered. First, with Communist China in the trade area, but eventually this could lead to war. I don't think the American people want it. I don't think the Communist Chinese want it. I don't think the Koreans want it. Certainly not the Japanese. All of them want peace and trade. What they really want is peace and prosperity. And to the extent there's agreement on that, I think all can work towards increasing trade and decreasing military tensions. That should be the goal, but we need to see real progress. So it's a wait and see. I think, like I said, I think there is a date certain, but I don't think it's in the distant future. If President Trump doesn't see real progress, he's going to call it off. And he knows who to blame, and it's Communist China. And he's not in a very good mood in terms of Communist China. We have slapped significant tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars of goods that normally come into the United States from Communist China. And he could ramp it up. He could ramp it up by a total embargo. And it really should be both ways. An embargo for their exports coming into the United States, and also a total embargo for any U.S. goods headed to North Korea. That's what will get North Korea's attention, but more importantly, get the attention of Communist China. The ball is squarely in the court of Communist China. They're the ones that have supported North Korea, and that's the reason North Korea has nuclear weapons, warheads that can be placed on missiles, and long-range missiles. And that regime, at least up to now, has also been supporting the Islamic Republic of Iran. Its goal is also to have nuclear weapons, and it's threatening Saudi Arabia, Israel, all the Arab countries in the Middle East, and they will not sit still for that. Once it's clear Iran has a nuclear capability and the missiles to deliver that, then you're going to see a nuclear arms race in the Middle East that's in no one's real interest either. Saudi Arabia already has the missiles. It can get the warheads from Pakistan. And if the Saudi regime feels that Iran does have the ability, the capability of delivering nuclear weapons by missile. Remember, Iran and Saudi Arabia are right next to each other. They're not going to allow Iran to dominate the Middle East. And keep that in mind. You got to look at the connections between nuclear weapons, first in trade with the Communist Chinese, but also with arms sales and arrangements between Iran and North Korea to develop their own capability. So stay tuned. I'm sure we're going to learn more. And hopefully these meetings this week will lead to something substantial, maybe even an announcement. That remains to be seen. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com